What's up, everybody? It is another episode of the Amazing Hell's Kitchen. We're all about the black jackets, but there's some double eliminations going on. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, I gotta get the finger points.
Yes. You don't have enough calories to do those finger points, Lem. Save them. Save them, man.
I'm so hungry. Oh, my God. Hey. That's a little bit. I'm going to do the flat hand wave. That's my
thing. Like I'm rubbing a lushy. A bunch of kids' heads. And there you go.
I'm delirious. I'm so hungry. I'm delirious. What's up, everybody? You know what it is. It's your boy Lim Gonzalez here with another episode of Hell's Kitchen. So excited. We were off last week, but we are back. And we're going to make sure we don't leave you hanging. We're going to talk about both episodes. And we got a special guest, but we're going to bring it in just a second. As I said before, I'm Lim. You can find me always at the Poet Saint all day, every day. I got my main man, my partner in crime, my ace boom coon. I don't know if I said that right. It's such an old reference.
I don't know what it is. You know, that's okay.
We're just going to go with it.
All right, I'll take it.
My boy Frank Moran, what's up, man?
Hey, everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Now's the point where I make fun of Lem eating all this popcorn, but we've got a special guest. We got to get right to it.
We got to get right to it. We got to do it all. But she's looking amazing and awesome. We got none other than Kimberly. What's up, Kimberly?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey! We are doing amazing.
How you doing?
Excellent. We are so excited to have you on the show. We've been waiting. This was supposed to be last week, and then we had some issues. But we are back. You are with us, and it's a great two episodes to do because you're like all over it. So I think it's perfect.
It's perfect. I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to talk. I want to jump back to the last episode, right? So the last episode, not the one we just saw. Oh, look at you drinking wine. Look at you.
You know, it's champagne.
Oh, we celebrate.
Classy over here.
Classy over here. I hear you. I'm not mad. I see the hair swoop. I see you. Classy status.
You know, yeah, I'm looking good now, you know. Black jacket, you know.
Black jacket.
Like, the creme, you know,
it's so top notch.
Bougie,
absolutely. All right, so flashing back to the last couple episodes, so basically, this was where it was like the black jacket extraordinaire, right? Everybody's fighting for the black jackets. This is the coveted thing with Hell's Kitchen. You get to work on your own. You don't have to worry about the whole team aspect, so to speak. And when I say teams, the red and blue team is annihilated, and you're just by yourself. And so you actually, it was, I had never seen this before.
Yes, I love the switch that they did and how they determined how the final five jackets were given out.
So it's six of you. Right. It's six of you starting off. And basically, there's three different eliminations. So if you get on the top two, then you're done. You get to go to the Black Jacket Lounge. Then you got the second choice. You're done again. And then it gets to the last two. And the last two duke it out. And you were in the last of the last with...
Always.
Yeah. With Andrew, my favorite person. not at all. And so I just want you to kind of flash back to that moment. When you were, you know, obviously, and you're doing good. I mean, it started off with, it was like you had to select these random ingredients and then it went to something different. But then when you get to the end, how are you feeling when you're there? It's just you and Andrew. Everybody else is in the Black Jacket Lounge. You know, there's only one jacket left. How are you feeling at this point?
Honestly, you know, I had to say, like, not to, you know, confidence was high. You know, Andrew was, you know, kind of pissed, you know, pardon the language, to be, you know, kind of facing me in the final round. I think that, you know, he really thought he had it in the bag. He always thought that I was weaker than him.
Right.
You know, and I had to keep proving week after week that I belong there. I wasn't there by a stroke of luck. I was there because I was busting my ass, you know, trying to learn and keep up with everyone. So, you know, I was excited. You know, I knew that it was, you know, sink or swim, and it was go big or stay home time. And, you know, I watched Andrew fumble around that kitchen like, Bill was, you know, he was his own worst enemy at that point, and I fully took advantage of it and kicked his ass.
I will say, though, during the end right there when you're plating, you're set up there first, and you're like, yeah, just kind of cleaning the plates, getting it all set really nice. Andrew's bumbling around, but then time runs out. I've never seen it in a Hell's Kitchen where somebody's still working in the kitchen, making their way to the pass. Yeah. Because you're like on like MasterChef, they're really a stickler, like, boom, you didn't make it to the plate on time, you're done. And they still let Andrew present. I thought Ramsay was going to eliminate him at that point.
What was it just like we saw, Kimberly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I kind of liked how they played, like, the background music. You got, like, the little pitter-patter of me just, you know, going about cool, calm, and collected. And, you know, Andrew's just, like, sweating and getting all nervous. And I'm, you know, I'm just walking, doing my best. And I feel, you know, kind of good that I had him shaken, you know. But it was very high pressure for all of us at that point.
Sure, absolutely. And, I mean, you're down to the last six. No one wants, I mean, you never want to go home, obviously. But as I think it gets closer to, you know, the top two to see who's going to win, the further you get, the more you don't want to go home because you can kind of see it happening. And you see it right there in front of you. When it's between you and Andrew and you're there and he's tasting and all of that is going on, are you at any, I mean, obviously you're nervous, but are you worried at all? Because I know you said you were going to beat him. But were you worried at just an inkling of worry?
Yes and no. Gordon had gone by, you know, and he had given us both constructive criticism. I listened to what Gordon said. Andrew obviously did not with the puree, but I remember we were up in Gordon's office and, you know, we didn't know that our other black jackets were judging. You know, we didn't know what was going on, but Andrew, you know, had pretty much confirmed that his dish was, you know, not as great as mine. And just to hear him say that was... it was priceless. It was awesome because he was there, you know, the entire time. I mean, you only see a small part of what I really endured. You know, from the blue team, always bullying me and bullying all the other girls. And I'm just the loud one. I don't let people walk all over me, which is, you know, why I was always involved in confrontations with them. I wasn't going to let them bother me, you know. And I don't know, dude. It felt great for Andrew to have to. He cried.
Cried. Like, I was hoping real they were going to show it.
Yes. Well, I think that the way that elimination or that selection of the black jackets was so well set up because just a psychological mental toughness that you have because if you don't get selected for the first two rounds and that you're down to that third round, but for Kimberly, like you said, like you felt like you were playing catch up and you were busting your ass that whole season, a great mindset in that third round. But Andrew, who felt like he was entitled to that black jacket, I can see where it starts breaking down his psyche in that third round.
Absolutely. And to me, honestly, I don't know why he was so cocky. Because to me, and we would talk about this every week, and I just felt like he would say more than do more. And anytime he really tried to shine, he really didn't do that well. No. Like, he really didn't. He really didn't.
He didn't. And, no, Gordon, not to interrupt you, but Gordon, in the beginning, you know, had made fun of Andrew saying, you know, oh, you went to Le Cordon 2. You're more like a Le Cordon 2, like, you know, saying Le Cordon Bleu to 2, saying Andrew Crouch sucked and wasted all the money, you know, on a good education, you know? So it's, I don't know. I believe in karma. What goes around comes around. And, you know, Andrew's a dick. He was a jerk. He was mean. And he got that big, swift kick in the butt of fate. And, you know, it's his fault. He should have been nicer.
There it is.
There was never elimination more this season than I was happy to see. Like,
I know, I was. Especially going into blackjack, because I'm like, nah, dude, you don't even get the blackjack.
Nope, they don't even get to touch
you
it.
You don't even get to touch it, son.
No, I think he got to walk by it on the way out the door, you know, funny. Like it was still hanging from the ceiling.
I love how, like, she said he had real tears. She's like, I wish they showed that.
He did.
I wish they did, too. Yeah, real tears. Well, I mean, like I said, I didn't think it was that good. He played the villain the whole time, like you said, and I think you get what you deserve. And he did.
Absolutely.
And when you were shooting that, is that the last you see of Andrew until the finale, when him walking out the restaurant doors?
No. When I got booted off, what people don't know is they kind of keep all of us cast-offs, the top 10, in a little beach house over in Venice. So when I got booted off,
you had to go
I
see
had to
him.
Walk through the door and do my walk of shame to see Andrew and then live with him for one night. without any kind of staffing or, you know, we had a couple people watching us. But, you know, we got along. At that point, it was just at the very end. People understand how hard it is to be away from your family.
Oh, yeah.
And regardless, you know, of what you're doing reward-wise or whatever, you're away from your family. You don't have your phone. You don't have a TV. You don't have windows. You're just surrounded by all these people that, you know, you normally probably wouldn't say hi to or be friends with in a normal situation, but you're all grouped together in like this weird like reality science experiment thing, and you're just like, you know, you're almost put together to, you know, just fight with each other. It's, it's like the Big Brother of cooking. I mean, that's what we all said.
There it
is. You know, so it's, you know, but that's Andrew, actually, I mean, I feel bad. He's not that bad of a guy. I will say that. A lot of people on the show that have been portrayed in a negative light, I mean, really aren't that bad. And I feel bad, but, you know, you gotta be smart. You can't let America think you're an idiot, you know, because now everyone's gonna just, you know, everyone thought I was a ditz. My new, I guess, thing on Facebook that people have been calling me, some of the trolls we call them, is crouching moron hidden badass.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's been put around.
What?
Yep. Yeah, that's, you know, so, you know, whatever, but, uh, yeah, it's just whatever. There it is.
Did Andrew at all explain, like, hey, you know, I know you guys finally found out that I have a girlfriend for the longest time, and I've just been flirting around with Heather. Whoops, my bad.
You know, honestly, though, we knew it. Like, there's been some speculation going on, but I knew he had a girlfriend. I think everybody knew he had a girlfriend, including the other parties involved. I don't know, dude. I don't wanna throw anybody under the bus.
Understood.
But I knew he had a girlfriend, and I didn't even talk to him. I'm sure other people knew he had a girlfriend.
Knew what was up.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No. You know, it's Andrew can just stay back in LA. I'm done.
There it is. Yeah. So you beat out Andrew, right? You beat out Andrew in that episode. So then we go into the new episode. So you're still in the running. Frank, take it away.
Yeah. So so Kimberly, what's it like the first time you get a black jacket? You go through your rounds, you make it, you knock out Andrew. Now you get a black jacket. How does your mindset change?
I was excited. I never had thought in a million years that I would have been in that situation or, you know, that far advanced in the competition. I just didn't want to be the first or second one to go home. I never thought in a million years that I would be able to have a black jacket handed to me from Gordon. And it was probably the best feeling in the world next to having my beautiful daughter. Because Gordon I've idolized for, I don't know, at least 10 years. And, you know, just to have, you know, him actually decide on me, it felt great. It literally felt great. Like, I think I shit myself twice. It was just awesome.
Please not in the kitchen. Tell me it wasn't in the kitchen.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
For somebody,
and then I got to get kissed by him, too, which...
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
There you go.
See, that's why you're
both
looking
cheeks,
like you're like...
Baby. Both,
both cheeks,
baby.
Both cheeks by Gordon Ramsay.
They've never been washed since.
Like a
that's
mom.
It.
It was crazy.
So, Kimberly, for somebody that's idolized Gordon Ramsay for 10 years, now you get a chance to work for him in this competition. What's it like working so closely with Gordon Ramsay?
It's nerve-wracking. You know, you're literally on thin ice, eggshells, and everything in between every second that you're near him. Because if he's not judging you, you're judging yourself around him, and you don't want to mess up. You know, he is Gordon Ramsay. He sees all. You know, he knows all. And it's nerve-wracking. But it's very rewarding when he notices you and says, you know, good job, Kimberly, or lamb's cooked perfectly, you know, and in a positive way. I mean, it's just awesome. But when he's ripping you apart, it's absolutely terrible. But it's, I don't know, it was awesome. And I learned a lot. You know, one day he pulled me, literally, said, Kimberly, and grabbed me. And, you know, we started cooking scallops together. And I'm just like, holy crap, you know, I'm cooking scallops, like, tip to tip with Gordon. You know, and that's like, I didn't go to culinary school. So, you know, having him right next to me as, like, my culinary instructor at the it's just bucket list stuff. It's, you know, it's awesome. But getting screamed and yelled at is just not so fun. I'm traumatized. I hear it all the time. I burn something. I'm like, you know, like, maybe yelled at, but he's, you know, not here. But it was worth it, though. It was all worth it.
Of course. Every second.
So what is something that Gordon Ramsay, like, taught you or give you a piece of advice that has really changed the way you approach cooking now?
Honestly, he just told me to, you know, be positive in myself, believe in myself, treat my my face as if, or my plate as if it was my face. One day he pulled me apart, you know, from service, and was like, you know, because I was really bummed I lost to Ryan in one of the last challenges, because my plating wasn't, you know, as perfect, but her and I had gone head-to-head. And he told me to treat my plate as my face because I do my makeup very nicely and I put it all in the right spots. So I've been treating my plate now, you know, with a bit more respect and making sure my plating skills are up there, you know, but that's pretty much it. And always adapt, you know, in any situation, you know, don't let yourself not do your best just because you might not be comfortable where you're at. You know, a great chef adapts and always has passion, and you know, those are two things I choose to try to do every single day and reflect in my cooking.
Well, in this last episode, certainly learning to adapt, I think, really comes in key to the challenge, because it's all planned. You're sitting in Vegas. You're going against the odds.
Vegas.
Ramsay's, yeah. You're all sitting at a table. Ramsay's flipping over cards. And if you want that ingredient, you got to slap the buzzer and get it. What is your strategy for that? Are you trying to get every card as soon as it's popped up? Are you holding back on some and trying to nail the ingredients you really want?
Honestly, I had no idea what kind of ingredients, you know, we were going to be, you know, be able to choose from. So, I mean, you literally have that pause where you're kind of like deer in the headlights, like, oh, what am I going to do this? What am I going to use that for? And black garlic or this or that. So, I mean, you're kind of just like, and then you're just hitting it just to hit, because you're kind of getting scared because you're like, oh my God, I only have one thing.
Right.
Oh my God, I only have this. What the hell am I going to do with this? You know, so it's kind of like, it was fun, I got to say. But it's nerve-wracking, because what if you get stuck with all these things that don't go together and you're just going to look like an ass in your black jacket, you know? So
right.
it was hard, it was crazy, and, you know, I'd never really cooked with black garlic before. So to just slam my hand out on that, I'm like, oh, what did I just do? You know, but that's all right. It all worked out. He said he loved my potatoes.
Is there a big difference? I mean, now that you've cooked with it, did you find a big difference between black garlic and, you know, your standard garlic?
I mean, yes, I don't think it had as much of a bite. It was a little bit more savory and smooth than normal, like, white raw garlic.
Okay.
You know, it was a little more oily. I don't know if it's cured or not. I can't sit there and say how it's, you know, prepared before it's sold, kind of thing. God forbid I say the wrong thing and my Twitter's going to be flooded.
Kimberly.
My whole risky business, footloose thing. I don't know how many people, like, did not let me live that down. You know,
so
sorry,
funny.
America. Let me apologize now for that. I know Tom Cruise was not in Footloose. But, yeah, so it's, you know, it's, I liked it. I would use it again.
Word.
So the way that the winner is judged for this, it's almost like King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the best dish, you get to sit in the chair.
Right.
And each chef comes up, and if they don't do as good as the previous chef, then they just get passed on. If you do better, then you get to kick that person out.
Right.
So, of course, I feel like you get the short end of the stick because you're first. So that's like, hopefully,
you just
got to be top.
Oh, yeah.
Or because you've got four other people you've got to defend yourself against.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'd rather defend myself against the four people than, you know, the 18 that we started out with.
Yeah.
You know, but I always saw Gordon kind of always did put me first, which, you know, could have been good, could have been bad. You know, I was always nervous having to go first. But, you know, I thought my dish was pretty good. I knew my chicken was really good. I knew I had that black garlic in with my mushrooms that I'd done, you know, like kind of like a baked potato, mashed potato style with, you know, crispy bacon and chive and sour cream. And, you know, it wasn't shown, but, you know, chef had said, and Jen Lewis both love my potatoes, you know. But it's nervous. You know, I was nervous all the time. And I was just hoping that my dish was good enough to allow me to sit in the chair.
Well, I was surprised because Pauly goes after you and knocks you down. And I've been up and down with Pauly this season in terms of, like, how he delivers on the plate.
Right.
But he held out a lot longer this competition than I thought. He went he knocked out three other people until it got to Heather. He was kind of ruling the roost there for a while.
Yeah, you know, and that's surprising because I do look to Heidi and Ryan, or Kim, you know, Ryan, you know, as better chefs than Pauly. And I just... The first night Pauly worked on our team was the first night we got kicked out as a black jacket team. And I say that was mostly Pauly's fault. Pauly just was dragged us all down. It was a downward spiral.
We'll get to that in a second there.
I feel like he's I mean, the whole, if we look at him the whole season, I feel like he's been very hit and miss. There's been times that he's shined. I think that was mostly earlier in the season. But as it's dwindled down and it's been less people, I think he's, I guess... Maybe he's been exposed more as to not being as good as what he could have been. So maybe that's what we're seeing.
You're Heather, and Heather wins the challenge, and she gets to take Heidi. So when you in that situation, and Ramsey goes, you know what, you got to pick somebody else to go with you. Do you at that moment realize, nah, she's probably gonna pick Heidi, or do you all feel like we got a chance of one of us getting picked?
Well, Heather and I had a conversation the night before. I kind of apologized to her because she was visibly upset that I took Andrew out.
Really?
She didn't have her little canoodle with anymore.
Oh, gosh.
So I was just like, you know, I'm sorry. Don't hate me. Because we had kind of developed a friendship, you know, throughout the competition. Mm-hmm. You know, myself, Heidi, and, you know, Kim. Like, we just were friends. And Heather was my friend. And I'm like, you know what? If I win, I'd like to take you, and then maybe, you know, if you want to reciprocate, if you win, take me, kind of thing. So I was under the impression that, you know, when Heather won, I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to Vegas, you know? And then I hear Heidi, and I'm like, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't visibly show it. I can't sit there and be like, oh, my God, and look at her and say anything.
Right.
But I was very, very, very upset that she had taken Heidi over me. So, you know, it's whatever, you know, whatever.
I mean, I know you said you developed a relationship with her, but did she also have a relationship with Heidi, or it wasn't as strong as the way you had with her?
I think we were all friends, but we're all there to compete against each other. So I think we're all just like a bunch of backstabbing bitches, you know what I mean? Like, we'll be nice to each other's faces, but at the end of the day, we're all wanting to take each other out, you know, and kick them out of the competition. But, you know, I liked Heidi a lot. I've maintained a relationship with Heidi since the competition. Mm-hmm. Heather as well, you know, Ryan as well, and some of the other girls. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The bitches are scandalous, man. They're
scandalous.
And I'm just, you know, at the point, a lot of people don't realize that I was, you know, significantly older than Heather, you know, than Ryan and Gia, Jessica. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, I don't know, 34 at the time. You know, I'm almost 38 now. So it's been a while since we taped. So I just felt that I was kind of like a bit more mature, even though it might not have shown. You know, on the show, but I just, you know, I had a different mindset. So even though Heather had made the pact with me the night before, and I wasn't going to let it get me down. I mean, after all, I had to clean up a bunch of garbage and save the world.
Right.
You know?
Save the world.
Who needs Vegas when I have dust?
There was a lot of cleaning up this season.
How long did that punishment last? Because that just looked miserable.
They had us out there in the rain for about an hour and a half, you know, in the god-awful suits, wearing these awful, like, boots and everything like that, and it was just disgusting. It was pretty gross, and then it really made me open my eyes to all the waste that's generated from all of us. There is the competitors and the staff. It was, my God, we're pigs. We are pigs. It was bad, you know, but it gave me a new appreciation for recycling, so.
There it is.
And I know what all those little codes now mean at the bottom of stuff. So everything had to be organized by, like, codes, which was, that was the worst. That was the worst.
Service, though, a little bit different now, because usually he's had somebody kind of run the kitchen.
Right.
But this time now he decides, hey, guess what, Aaron, Andy, you guys are not going to be my sous chef tonight. You're going to be at the dinner table, the chef table, and we're going to have you guys take turns at being a sous chef along with me. Sounds like a really a nice, cool twist on it.
I don't remember, and I don't think I've seen that before.
He's
in
never done that,
episodes.
So it's kind of a Hell's Kitchen first, as they like to say.
That was
kind of
dope.
Yeah,
I like that.
He actually. I mean, I don't know. Normally, towards the end, once he gets black jackets, he does give people turns of the pass. You know, kind of act as a sous chef. I have seen that.
And talking about with them being at the chef table.
Yeah,
I don't think we had seen that part. Yeah. It was different.
Yeah, it was just an experience, you know, and Gordon was just pissed. You know, he was kind of like going to that service like a little upset and everything like that. So I know when it was my turn, like working with him and stuff, he was very short on edge, and I believe he called me, I'm like an annoying ex-girlfriend. So I was like, oh, thanks, Gordon, you're going to date me, you know? I'll happily be an ex-girlfriend for Gordon,
Kisses on the cheek.
Yeah, I guess that's interesting to think of, because we just assume like Gordon Ramsay is just that professional, but also he's a human being too. So if he's having a rough day for some reason, he can't maybe help bring that into the way he conducts the service as well. So just a little short, little short statements, kind of quick to anger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know, you know, Gordon is boo. as bae, I should say.
Yeah, he's bae.
But you know, when it was your turn at the pass, I mean, obviously you got to be intimidated at some point. Did you feel like, you know, even with the comments that he made, did you feel like you held your own though?
You know, yes, I did. I was making sure everything was neat, in the right plates. I think I messed up the risotto. And I won risotto or something like that. But I mean, honestly, like, I have confidence in myself. I didn't go to culinary school. I'm not really too familiar with how things are plated. And, you know, unfortunately, like, I never got to go up there and really watch Chef Dandy plate things. So I'm trying to do things, I guess, from my instinct. Mm. But as I think we saw on the show, it wasn't right all the time.
Right.
So I don't know. He's just... it's just hard being around him. He just puts you in like 10 types of nervousness, and it's crazy. Well, it's crazy.
I feel for you. It kind of showed, because yeah, you were asking lots of questions while you were up there. It just
always. Well, I think I got yelled at for something, because they don't always show everything that leads up to like one particular thing.
Right.
So I think I might have put a little bit heavy or something like that, or still kind of been in that, like, stressed out, where he called me a name when I was plating the risotto, and when we had the 212 tops for that one cancer event that we did. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. Of course, you know, I'm going to ask questions. I guess I'd rather ask a stupid question and at least know what I'm doing versus totally screwing up and getting yelled at and being, like, turning red, and I'd probably cry, you know? Yeah. So if I got to ask a couple questions... I don't know what's
I feel first. Like Kimberly, like, oh, I feel like,
I really don't.
Kimberly, this whole season you've been like the question woman, the question woman, because you literally like all the, and I know that editing probably, you know, spices it up and makes it more than
kill
what
me.
It is,
kill
but
me.
You always, but I mean, you make a good point, because one of the things that I didn't know, it might have came out at the beginning, I might have missed it, is that you didn't go to culinary school. And so for you, do you think that you, and like you said, of course you're asking questions because you want it to be right. Do you think that you did ask the questions you did, and the amount of questions you asked, because you hadn't gone to culinary school and you didn't have maybe some of the experience that some of the other chefs had?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I did ask a lot of questions, you know, but I'm one of those people that, anyone can, you know, vouch for me that you tell me something once and I'm going to pick it up. I'm not going to ask you the same question twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really annoying than just, you know, 8,000 questions.
Oh, like, but I guess Polly? I'd rather, where he says, you know, chef, what can I do?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather than tell me, do this, do that, than me, you know, do something and unfortunately, you know, take down my entire team.
Right.
I guess, you know, when we're working as a team, we're all supposed to help each other. So I guess if someone was asking me questions, I'm not going to be bothered by that because they're my teammate.
Right.
You know, if we're farther on down and it's like one-on-one kind of situation, I'd be like, you know, should have freaking, you know, done your research and learned, you know, I'm not going to help you now. But in that team atmosphere, you got to help each other,
sure.
You know, or
absolutely.
Everyone's going down. So
We see Polly up there, and Polly is struggling, especially cooking that lobster tail.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask Kimberly, when a chef says, like, you know, I'm cooking this lobster tail for 5 minutes and still not cooking, is there such a wide variance of, I feel like if you're following the rules, like it takes 5 minutes to cook a lobster tail, then that's the case? It's just like a question, like, my pan's not hot enough? Those are those little things that are making the difference?
Yeah. Well, the sad part is that we pre-cook those lobster tails before they go into the Bermonté. The Bermonté kind of just heats them up a little bit and gives them that richness of like a butter poached lobster.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that he still was serving raw lobster.
Raw cooked lobster.
Lobster
cooked. He was serving cold lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Polly just... He might say he's an executive chef, but, you know, at the end of the day, he probably works in a kitchen of one. So I guess anybody can be anything when you work by yourself.
You know, executive kind of thing, chef
but,
of myself.
Whatever.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Now, what is it like? I mean, because at some point when the scallops aren't getting cooked right, he mm-hmm. says, Eddie, hey, I hate to bother you. Could you get up from the table and cook these scallops there for us for a sec? How bad do you guys feel when your sous chefs have to get up from their nice little meal they're going to have and start cooking?
It was bad. You know, Andy, too, she had these really big heels on, and she was in this gorgeous green sequin dress. And, you know, throughout the entire competition, I really did feel that I kind of made a nice bond with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
She always answered our questions. She was great, always demoing stuff. She was very supportive. And to let her and Chef Aaron down and Chef Gordon, it was upsetting. When Gordon had yanked us all in the back room while Andy was cooking the scallops, Gordon's voice cracked and he got tears in his eyes because he was so disappointed
wow.
in us. I broke down in tears. And that's kind of what led me into the whole, I'm just lost at this point because mm-hmm. Paulie just kept screwing up scallops, screwing up lobster. So when my stuff's up in the pass, I'm refiring carbonara, I'm refiring risotto, I'm refiring everything because Paulie's keep getting sent back. So new orders are coming in. This, and I just got stuck. I think that was the only time throughout the entire competition that I physically was stuck in the weeds.
Really?
You know, and it was just overwhelming. But it's, you know, it happens to everybody, and I tried to get help from my team, but no one wanted to help. You know, Heather bombed out herself.
Mm-hmm.
Polly was screwing up. You know, Ryan's doing her best. You know, we got garnish where it's just, you know, it was just a really terrible situation because we weren't a cohesive, bonded team. We were fragmented. We were all over the place, and we weren't working together, you know? So it just... It was just a really bad night, and I felt bad for Andy. I was hoping that, you know, she looked perfect, her makeup. I didn't want her to get all sweaty.
Yeah.
You know.
And amazing, like, getting you... I always wonder about those, like, little backroom chew-outs that Chef Ramsay does. And for 16 seasons in, to see that his voice breaks and he gets teary-eyed, amazing, just to show how still passionate it is about this, even this far into doing this competition.
Yeah.
Gordon is very passionate. You know, we... Those feelings and the screaming and yelling, I mean, that's literally him being physically disappointed in us, you know, and it's sad when you've come that far, when he's just handed you a black jacket and acknowledged that you are, you know, the top five, you are the best for that season,
right.
And now here we are, like, letting him down. It's terrible, you know, it was a really terrible feeling, and I was so embarrassed for myself and for my team. There's a lot of famous people in the room that night. It was just, I think Pauly Shore, I was hoping they were going to show this.
Pauly Shore,
oh God, had come up to the pass when I was up there with Gordon with a bib on and his lamb and tried to tell Gordon, excuse me, my lamb is fatty and raw, and Gordon was like, I'm telling him, F you, piss off. I'm stopping. I'm like, my jaw is like this. I'm like, holy crap, he just told up Pauly Shore.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, oh, my. And he was, yeah. So Gordon, like, has no holds barred, even with celebrities.
Yeah.
That's him.
Well,
he's
that's the thing. It's his
a
kitchen.
Fork.
Yeah, it's his kitchen. He knows what's going on. You can't tell him what to do in his kitchen.
Yeah.
Who you are.
No. You guys don't even get, you figure black jackets, the least, the bare minimum we can do is finish a table service.
Right.
You're not even able to finish the table service. Throws you out and makes Andy and Aaron, sorry guys, you're not even finishing your meal. Get back up and start cooking.
Wow.
That was terrible for
those
guys.
It's awful.
That's
terrible. And you can see the look of disappointment that was genuine on everybody's faces, you know, and it's really sad. And even after getting kicked out, we still couldn't come together as a team. And, you know, because everyone screwed up. And I honestly, I don't feel I should have actually gone up that night. I really feel, you know, what they showed was me having a meltdown. I faulted for 2 minutes, bounced right back. And I really think Heather should have gone up that night over me.
Really?
You know, I love her to death. We've kept a good relationship, but I feel that she should have gone up with Pauly. But at that point, I did what I wanted to do on that show. I promised myself I wouldn't be the first few to go home. You know, and if I could, I wanted a black jacket. I promised my family that I was gonna, you know, do my best so they can come out and meet Gordon, because, you know, we watch all of his shows as a family.
Wow.
You know, it's not just me, like, being a Ramsay, you know, geek and saying, oh God, it's literally family night watching all of his shows.
Wow.
You know, and I promised everyone I would do my best. So to have that black jacket hanging in my closet, to me, I was happy. Even though I didn't win, I did my best.
Kimberly,
so, you know,
I want to ask, because, you know, like you said, you were eliminated in that episode, but also Pauly was eliminated too, and you didn't find that out until afterwards because you were eliminated first. Did that give any consolation to you, the fact that you guys were both eliminated at the same time, or did it still, you know, obviously no one wants to go home, you know, there's only one winner. Did it feel any better, I guess, is my question.
You know what? I did, because I thought that Pauly had gone up, I think, six, seven, eight times.
Right.
You know, and that was my second time, you know, up in the chopping block. being up there for elimination. Mm-hmm. And to think that I would have been the only one gone home and he possibly could have had a chance, that would have just, ugh, it was awful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Polly and I actually had both been exited backstage, so I could hear someone else's voice, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, you got kicked out too.
You no, got kicked so, out too.
Yeah, I was happy, except we had to share a car ride home.
It must have been a fun ride.
It was a quiet car ride home. Quiet. You know, neither one of us talked. We were both, you know, pretty disappointed in ourselves. Mm-hmm. Even though I had gotten my black jacket, I still kind of had maybe an inkling, holy crap, maybe I got mm-hmm. a chance at this thing.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just glad that Polly's chance was taken away as well.
Well, during that debate, when you guys are deciding who's going to be put up for elimination, Polly's just digging his heels in, and he's really playing. It's like you guys are. Mm-hmm. It's like gender. Yeah, I'm the last man standing. You guys mm-hmm. are just trying to get me out. You're playing a girls' game. Polly must have been annoying during that deliberation because it was annoying to watch him in that.
The entire season, Polly was annoying. I mean, it's just like it's. He was just a jerk. He was mean. He was nasty. And he just thought that we were all a bunch of man-haters. And we're not. Mm-hmm. All of us there loved men. We all had significant others back home. Mm-hmm. We just didn't like Polly because I don't feel Polly was a proper representation of what a man should be. Mm-hmm. He was literally a little boy. And he always tried to make us the scapegoat. Mm-hmm. You know, it was never Polly's fault. It was never Polly this, never Polly that. He was perfect and always did good. And you know, it wasn't. It had nothing to do with what was between his legs. You know what I mean? And he didn't even really have too much there or up in his head, you know? And Yeah. Well, let's just say Aaron wasn't the only one shaking his thing around.
Oh.
You know?
Exclusive.
Yeah, poor Aaron. You know, Polly was wearing some of the girls' panties around.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
That was kind of...
Right.
Well, Kimberly, I will say, before we let you go, I do like that Chef Ramsay did say that she was the most improved and had grown the most on the show. So I think that's something to take, I mean, great compliment with that. And I think, I mean, it looked like he really took a liking to you. And, you know, I mean, again, there's only one winner. And like you said, he's bae, you know what I'm saying? And I think he respected you. And I think, you know, looking at this, because I've, you know, like you said, I watch the show, you know, just about every single season. And I think when people like yourself don't go to culinary school or don't have a lot of experience and come on there and do well, I think he respects that.
Yeah.
He respects that. And like you said, to be in a black jacket, hello. I mean, that speaks volumes. Especially to be people that have gone to culinary school and that didn't make it this far, you know. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe it.
That's huge.
It's
that's huge.
Work, man.
That's huge.
It's hard work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, work and just, you know, pushing through, doing my best, and don't give up. That's what I tell everybody. Yeah. Don't let bully you, and you know, just keep pushing and fighting and working hard and believing in yourself. And you know, anything can happen. You know, seriously. I mean, Trump's president. My God, anything can happen. So, come on. Thank you guys. It's been a blast.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate being on the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Before we let you go, I want to let them know, the viewers and the fans, what you're doing now, if they're in your area that they could come, where you're cooking at, all that good stuff.
All right. Right now, I am in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
I teach in-home culinary classes. I own the Bamboo Panda Catering Company. You can check me out on Facebook. Instagram, I'm at chef_Kim_1101. I have a pretty sweet Instagram account. And I'm actually in the middle of doing some pop-up dinners, Bully Hill Winery. I'm going to be doing a dinner with Warbox Brewing Company here in Rochester, New York. And I'm looking for space, trying to open my own restaurant.
Nice.
So hoping to be open, by, you know, early 2018. Got a couple nice friends and some business partners that want to help me and, you know, get my dreams going and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm around and, you know, I don't just do sushi. I obviously can do a lot of other stuff too. So, you know, check me out on Facebook and on Instagram and we can get, you know, talking to you guys about taking some of my classes or whatnot.
Yeah.
Opening week to eat at your restaurant when it's up and running.
Exactly.
I know Lemon will be knocking at your door.
Yes, VIP at my chef table.
VIP, son. We VIP. I'm telling you.
I'll
find it for
you guys to sit there.
Word. I love it. Well, thanks again, Kim. We appreciate you being on the show. And appreciate what you did on the show and how you stayed true to yourself and excelled and did what you did. So appreciate that.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, way to go, Kimberly.
Until next time, we'll see you. Bye-bye. Man.
I love the double elimination twist at the end, because I was not expecting Paula.
I was not expecting that either.
And I was,
not at all.
But I was also glad too. I was like, "Bang, please go."
He had to go.
Yes.
I mean, I would have rather had Kimberly stay over him. I mean, if two people were going to go, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you get to a certain point and then it's like you can't go any further. But I think that what she did and what she accomplished, like I said, not being, you know, going to culinary school, no formal training, being able to, because really that's just sheer hard work.
Yes.
That's just really sheer hard determination. Yes, she asked a lot of questions, but she wanted it to be right. You know, and I don't fault her for that. I think she should have done that.
No, I feel like there's a difference of like her asking questions because she just wants to make sure that what she's cooking is right, as opposed to Polly would, whatever his true intentions were, it just comes off as brown nosing.
It did look like brown nosing, very much so. I mean, and I think even they saw that.
Yeah.
Let's get into predictions because we got three more people left. So let's see what we think about that.
And now, you're after Buzz.
I predict that I'm going to get food after this because I murdered this popcorn and I need some food before I die.
I see that prediction coming true. Yeah. I see your future and I see it filled with food. You know, for me, the prediction's short and sweet because I've been riding this horse from the beginning of the race, man. And that's Ryan, man.
Yeah.
Now, you can say you're jumping on board with me, but, you know, you're just, you know, you're on the bandwagon, my son.
I'm on the bandwagon. Oh, man. I mean, well, when she was on the show, I was team Ryan. I've been team Ryan for the last few episodes. I have been. Mm-hmm. Because really, I mean, there was, I mean, come on. I mean,
you're just looking for safe ground, man. You're looking for safe ground.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I feel like definitely now that it's down to the top three, I can't see either of the two of them beating her. I mean, I just can't.
No.
I can't see that. I mean, I could say probably top two, maybe her and Heather. I don't know. But for sure, she's going to win. I mean, I cannot see the other two women beating her.
Yeah, it's really a real toss-up, though, between Heather and Heidi, who would be going up against her. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it could be. I'm going to probably go with Heidi over Heather, I think. But I think it's a narrow margin.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to look at it. And like I said, it is a narrow margin. I just think, you know, you look at Ryan and her consistency, like you look at the entire season, and I know that's what he looks at too. She's done the best. She's been the most consistent. Heather and Heidi have had shining moments, but I don't think they've been as consistent as her.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, of course, you got to take in, you know, consideration going forward when they put their teams together. I mean, that's a big deal, that finale, when it's the top two and how they, you know, run their team. And you know that, of course, Ryan has always been criticized for not being as vocal.
I thought she did, as a sous chef, I thought she did well.
She did.
I
mean, she did.
The whole team was kind of falling apart.
Right.
But in terms of, you know, she was not a mess when she was up
there.
No,
she wasn't. She wasn't. I mean, she proved that she can lead a team. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when it's the last two and how she performs. But, yeah, I definitely think that there's nobody that can – the other two are not going to beat her.
No.
Plain and simple.
No.
Plain and simple.
Glad to see you're thinking things like I am now. Nice. All right.
Whatever.
There you go.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's been our show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. We want to give a shout out to Kimberly for being on the show and holding it down. And it was great for her to be on that show because it was perfect. Two perfect episodes for her. I am sorry to see her go because I did like her. I did like her personality. She was a light on the show.
Yeah.
And so she will be missed, but we got three more contestants, which means we got two more episodes.
That's right.
Man, down to the wire.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that is a bit limited with such a smile on her face as Kimberly was. She was just like, this has been awesome to be around you, so
well,
thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think you get to a point where it's like, I've done what I can do.
Yeah.
You know? So, no regrets. But yeah, shout out to her. And make sure you follow her. Make sure you get on Instagram. And if you're in her area, take her classes, because I'm sure they're great.
Yeah, you know? I mean, keep an eye out for when a restaurant opens up and
exactly,
be some good eating.
Exactly. I've been your host, Lim Gonzalez. Again, you can find me at The Poet Saint all day, every day. Also, check my website, stayonthemic.com. Frank, where are you at?
I'm going to be following Lim as he goes over to the restaurant, Tom's, and grabs a burger. I'll be watching that. So follow me on Snapchat as I record that of Lim just chowing down on that food. Otherwise, folks, you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
Oh, man. Until next week, we'll see you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Lamb needs food.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.